for giving us a call and explaining your concerns and what you've experienced. We really need to hear that feedback. It helps us and helps us figure out what steps we want to take. What we plan to do tonight is we're going to share information with you on steps that we're taking to improve reliability and to improve the quality of service. We want to have some time also for you to share your concerns and questions and the ideas you may have. And so that's how we're going to operate tonight. We've only got about an hour because of the road closure, so we're going to try to wind this down at 6 o'clock. If you want to stay a few minutes later, as long as we can get home and you can get home, so we're not working the night shift with the road crews, but that would be appreciated. I'm going to do some quick introductions. Joe Bernowski is over here. He's our Director of Water and Power. Gretchen Stanford is in the back corner. She's our Customer Relations Manager. Tracy Houston works for Gretchen. She's our Customer Relations Business Specialist. And Tracy also is assuming the key point of contact for any questions you have going forward or in the future. She'll be the person to contact and call. And we're doing that as an improvement to make sure that one person is gathering all the information. I served in that role for a little while. Tracy and I will be assuming that role. So we're getting a consistent picture and you know who to call. So she'll be the point of contact. Allison Bowling, right here. She's doing our administrative technician, taking minutes. Jason Smitherum is over here. He's our risk manager. If you have questions about claims or that process, Jason is the person to talk to. Frank Lindenhauer is here. He's our senior electrical engineer. He works for me and also is a project manager on the rebuild of the Canyon Circuit. And then Eric Wilson is our GIS specialist, and he'll be running the projector. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Frank. Maybe we got a small group. Maybe we'll just do quickly introductions because we do have a short period of time, and maybe we can start here and just go around the room. Let's do that quick. Your name and location.
There are of us, I think.
Pardon?
There are two, there are of us.
Yeah, that's true. If you'd like to start, sir.
Paul Bleach. I live down County Road 2934.
Okay. And back here.
Rick Moss. I live up in Wall County.
Yep.
Judy Decker, I live just down the road here.
Okay, great. Welcome.
Arthur, I live up at Wellington Road.
Leroy and Marge Rady, we live on River Fork Road, which is right beside CDOT's maintenance building.
Okay, familiar with that?
Joe and Lori Wright, Ida Wild Lane.
Joe, good to see you again.
Good to see you.
Bill and Linda Lentwich from Ida Wild Lane.
Dennis Holmes and my son Carson, we're just up the road next to Union Bus.
Gordon, Petroleo, 1583. Okay, we'll leave that there.
Okay.
Bud Decker, we're the 1561, world's steepest driveway, everybody knows it.
We do. Gary Wong's out with the Wildfire Land Cedar Cove.
All right, great. I guess that's everybody. Thank you. So, it's working. Okay, so I'm going to turn over to Frank. He's put together a short PowerPoint, and he's going to go through some of the changes we're making and some of the improvements that we're making to try to improve reliability and also try to reduce the number of partial outages. So.
Thanks, everyone, for coming. Just had a few slides to go through just to give an overview of the construction project in general and some of the improvements that we're trying to make. Feel free to interrupt me if you have any questions. I'll try to answer them the best I can. And yeah, just let me know if there's anything you'd like a little bit more detail. So a few things I want to touch base on is the construction overview and the project timeline, some of the improvements we're making. Typical picture of the construction that we've been doing further down the canyon, just to give you an idea of what the contractor has been dealing with. And then some information about an upcoming planned outage that was just announced today. So, and of course, any questions you guys may have too. So this is basically an overview of the canyon from very west edge of the town to the end of the line in Drake and Waltonia. So we have about 33 miles of overhead lines that we're replacing during this project. We broke this down into phases to make it a little bit more manageable so we can work on the design and construction at different times in different areas of the canyon and kind of keep things constantly going as we move along. So phase one started at our west substation and is ending at the water treatment plant, so the city water treatment plant just west of town, and it does include County Road 29 as well. So that's currently under construction. So this is a little bit more information about the three phases of the project. So like I said, phase one, we started back in May, and we're expected to finish that up coming up end of January of 2018. For each phase, we kind of broke it down into smaller subsections to make it a little bit more manageable. And we have a status here. So the first part of the project is complete out to, basically, we're a little bit farther along. Just to the west of Big Thompson Elementary School now is where we've completed most of the voltage conversion. And we're working our way out to County Road 29. The work should be starting out there coming up in the next couple of weeks as we work our way to finish up the water treatment plant version, to finish up phase one. And then you can see phase two is scheduled to start immediately after that and go to through September 2018. These dates may be a little bit flexible. We're kind of dependent on weather conditions. Can't work on energized lines when it's snowing or raining out, so some of this may change a little bit, but this just kind of gives you a general overview of what we're doing with the overall project. Phase 2A is we currently have that designed and issued to the contractor for review and any comments and changes that they may have. We're getting to start purchasing material for the second phase of the project. Phase 2B is also in design, and we're due to get prints on that coming up in the next couple of weeks right before the Christmas holiday. And then phase 3, we're going to start design work on that preliminary next week, and we're going to break that down into different phases as well. We kind of have to do a little bit of strategizing on that before we kind of decide where we're in order to break up into small pieces. So when we started this project, we had three major goals in mind. One was to improve the power quality that we were providing to the residents up here at the canyon. The second one was to improve the reliability. Thank you for not laughing at that.
We're with you so far.
And the last part was to improve access where we could to make it a little bit easier for our line crews to maintain the line going forward, and moving transformers from the backside of houses out to the main road to make it easier for them to maintain the work on the equipment and to help speed up getting power restored when there are outages. So those are some of the goals that we're working towards. So a few of the steps we're taking to help improve the reliability, we've implemented some of these steps, others are kind of in progress as we speak, but we've kind of changed our construction philosophy, and we're going to work on smaller sections as we move forward so that we have less of the system in an abnormal state than we have been in the past. So part of the difficulty of this project is we're trying to work on these lines when they're energized to keep everybody in power while working. So, and we're replacing most of the poles in line with our existing lines. So part of that process is to spread the energized lines out far enough so that the workers can get in there and work in between the lines safely. So that's been a big challenge, is keeping those lines spread far enough that we can work in there safely, keeping them tensioned enough so that when the wind blows, they're not bouncing together and causing outages and different things to occur. So the second thing we're doing is kind of changing our system protection philosophy. We're adding some auto-reclosing devices in different locations to kind of help to segment the line. So we're going to break the overhead line into smaller segments so that if there are faults that occur in certain areas, it will cause an outage for fewer number of people versus the entire canyon. So we've got a few of these devices installed already. We're in the process of procuring a few more. installed in strategic locations to help reduce the amount of outages moving forward. Questions?
Yeah, I'm listening.
So, one of the other things we're doing is we're removing all the steel poles. Some of these poles have been in the ground since the 1920s and 30s, and they had crossarms that were maybe about this long, and they aggravated the problem of electrical flashover at a certain time. So we have insulators that sit on the top of the poles that separate the line from the pole, and depending on the distances and the age of the insulators and just the environmental conditions, once in a while that electricity bypass that insulator and hit the pole, and when it's a steel pole, it conducts it in the ground and causes outages and other fault conditions to occur, which reduces the power quality. So we're removing all these steel poles and replacing them with wood, and you know, the new construction itself is a little bit more robust and stand up to some of the weather conditions a little bit better.
Right at our house, it ended with a new power line right in our driveway, and then it goes to the east. Instead of being on the road, it's up on the mountain on the side there now. So is that considered done?
There are certain sections up here that have been rebuilt after the flood that will remain because it's a relatively new replacement. So, yes. So
well, with the heavy winds that we had last week or so, that was almost guaranteed. No power. Everything stayed on. So.
Right. Yeah.
Well, that was like that is a good thing.
Yeah. Well, the cars are the last week or so have had some high wind events and haven't experienced any outages that I'm aware of up here. So I think we're making some progress and past one of the most difficult sections that we had. So hopefully things will continue that way. As you just mentioned, we've worked with CDOT and QWIT pretty closely through this whole construction process. There's been a number of areas where we've been asked to relocate our pole line. 12, 14 poles at a time that we've had a helicopter in different locations and reset to get them out of the way of the ongoing construction. And there have been individual poles that were moved because they've been hit multiple times by vehicles and caused outages and things like that. So we've been working to kind of relocate things when it makes sense to make the system collide. One of the newer things that we're looking at is implementing tree trimming along our overhead line. And this is something that we may be sending out further information on, but just briefly, we're going to be looking at getting permission from the landowners and homeowners, of course, but if it's something that's encroaching on our overhead line, then we will work to remove that at the city's expense so we can keep that power corridor clear, which will help with temporary faults and curly tree branches bump into the lines. And something that was mentioned at the beginning of this is having Tracy established as a single point of contact for everybody up here will help streamline communication and keep everything, all the information kind of flowing from you guys through Tracy to the other people in the city that can help get the problems corrected.
Doesn't the city have an easement along the battle line?
Yeah, we do have some written easements in many locations. We also have restrictive easements in different locations because the line has been in place for so long. And we basically, I think the rule of thumb is 10 foot on each side of the center line of a pole, just to give us access to come in and maintain and repair the lines as needed. So that of any branches
or trees.
Well, I mean, even if we do have the easement, we still don't want to come in and just start chopping down trees without at least talking to the homeowner and making sure that, I don't know how attached you are to some of the trees.
No, I understand that. You have to explain it because you have one landlord. One of the trees, and it's 10 miles down the canyon, the tree building.
Well, yeah, I mean, we'll have to deal with those situations as they come up, but ultimately, you know, we have to take into consideration the reliability of the entire canyon. So we would, you know, do our best not to offend any of the homeowners, but we'll, you know, we'll also do our best to try to keep the lines free of, you know, tree branches and things like that.
What we're doing is changing the practice. We're using the same rest of our past practice. Was a safer gambler with a dead tree. It wasn't in our right of way, but the customer's own property. We kind of had the customer say, please take that tree down or hire somebody to take it down so it doesn't jeopardize the life. Sometimes it happens, sometimes it didn't. So to fewer liability, what we're going to do now is contact the property owner and say, we would like to take the tree down. Do you give us permission to do that? We submit it at our cost. Because even though it's outside of our right of way, if it's a large tree, it can fall over and take the light out. So we're going to ask for all cooperation from the property owner. So that's the change of the marriage before. Say, if you please take it down, or hire somebody to take it down, that may or may not. So that's going to be the change.
So is the telephone lines also going to be looking at that same process? Because, like, it's been a while, but I have one that died and was leaning against the telephone line. I called them and said, hey, my plan. Fix your line, and said, well, thanks for telling us to go hire somebody.
I don't know if they're going to change their practice or not. We haven't spoken to them about our change. If they're on a pole, then they'll get it. If they're on a pole line, then I'm not sure what they're practicing.
But there's a lot of places along here where there's a telephone line and a power line. If one's threatening the telephone line, it's threatening the power line too.
We've done an assessment with our contractor. We've asked them, and they started up in the canyon, and they have done. We have done an assessment, and we're going to start contacting property owners here in the near future to do that for you. So if you live on a property and you have some dead trees, you can contact the property. So we're going to continue that, again, just to try to improve.
Okay, so they can call back tomorrow when they need it? Yes,
ma'am. Are we done with brownouts?
Okay.
That's my big question.
That's a good question. We've taken some steps to eliminate the likelihood of brownouts. There is still the possibility that we could have limited brownouts, yes.
Do them brownouts do anything to appliances, electronic stuff?
Oh, yes, they do.
Yes.
Heating elements, you know, they're 220 and they're working on less than 60 probably, or less than that?
They can affect it, yes. High voltage is more dangerous to electronics, but low voltage has its own.
Well, because when you had your problem with the lights flickering 24 hours a day, we did lose a freezer refrigerator. And the claims thing, well, it only took about 4 months to get that squared away. It was very bad. And I have another question.
Sir,
why is your emergency power number outsourced to somebody that don't even know where Great Colorado is? Yeah. It's in Mississippi.
Yeah.
You know, get somebody locally that knows where we're at.
Right. Got our number now.
She is going to answer the phone at 2 o'clock in the morning. I'll guarantee you that.
So the question was, why do we outsource our emergency operation number to someone that doesn't know the local area? Well, part of that issue is that we don't have a operations center manned 24 hours a day. We have personnel in our dispatch center from basically 7 to 4 in the afternoon. And then we do have line crew personnel that are on call overnight. But we do use the call center to help us handle calls after hours. So.
Yeah, but see, most people have now got not cell phones, but cordless phones. That power's gone, you've got no phone. I was a telephone man, and I got an old crank phone. I can still get you.
We're looking into that call center. We had a couple over here, different call centers, and that frustration about not even knowing where you are. And our director is working with the other cities to have a discussion about whether we could form a centralized call center for the four cities, which were partners in Longmont, City of Loveland, Texas Park, and Fort Collins, thank you. We're having those discussions to see if we can deploy that sort of stuff.
Yeah, they have all these questions, but they don't know where you're at.
Yeah, I understand.
Well, but you mean they have a number asked.
Yeah, this is probably my experience. So I do have
Is there anything we can do to protect our electronics and stuff against brownouts? I mean, there's nothing. A surge protector doesn't work.
There are under voltage relays that are out there, but you have to wire it per circuit to protect each individual appliance, and that's a pain.
So the question was, are there steps you can take to protect yourself from brownouts?
Yeah.
There are some commercially available products that you can get as far as, but they are individual circuits that you would have to choose that
which
may have
one?
Some sort of electronics on that you can add something at your breaker panel that would kind of stabilize the voltage, kind of ride through those brownouts. I believe you could also do something like a UPS, a battery backup system, whether that's for your PC or your modem or something like that. That would help to ride out.
The undervoltage relays that I know about, basically you would hook it up to whatever circuit you're trying to protect. When the voltage goes below a certain point, it'll just shut that circuit off. So your equipment would be turned off and not exposed to that undervoltage.
So then it'd be safe.
It'd be safe, but it wouldn't be powered.
Right.
Yeah, so part of what we're doing here is we're changing the configuration of the electrical system from a delta system to a grounded Y system, which is going to help eliminate the possibility of brownouts moving forward. So, as we get further along in the construction process, the likelihood of those brownouts reduces because we're eliminating the amount of area that's covered by the delta system, which is going to help make things more robust in the long run. So, I know we haven't done a stellar job in the past couple of months as far as reliability goes, but the long-term goal will improve the power quality and the reliability of here. So please bear with us.
Okay, on this brownout, is your warranties any good through your claims department?
That's something that maybe Jason can answer a little bit better than me.
You know, we're talking a lot of money to us poor people up here.
Absolutely, and I know that some of you probably turned in claims.
Yes.
And I would encourage you to do that. We're now in the early stages of investigating and looking at it. Our insurance carrier may be calling some of you that already have. But if you've got something to write down, I've got a few cards here. You can contact me. And we'll send you a claim form, and then you send in your documentation and get all that done.
We all ask proof, and how do we prove this?
Take a picture of it.
It looks the same.
It just doesn't work.
Okay,
that's fine.
I would tell you, if you do have equipment like that, don't throw it away, because the insurance carrier may want to come and retrieve it to look at. I know some of that stuff is already gone on company places. That's okay. We'll deal with that through the process. But if you do have damaged equipment, keep it. Don't toss it. And then you can take a picture of it. They'll come out here and they'll come look if it's warranted. So I would just encourage you to go ahead. Each claim is going to be assessed on its own merit. Right now we're just saying, go ahead and tell us what you got, what's happening. We'll figure out the details later. So that's the first thing. I would encourage you to do it. It doesn't mean that it's an automatic thing, but let's get all our documentation, get it in, and get it for the record, and then we'll figure that out.
Is that
our
upgrading transformers for removing poles and testing for noise, disconnections? When I pull in 1583 there, radio's fine, and when I pull in, it makes me believe that there's something, wrong with the transformer or some loose connections.
So are we replacing transformers and investigating radio noise? The answer to your question is, in some cases, yes, we are replacing the transformers. We do have some dual voltage transformers up here that were bought over the years to allow us a little bit of flexibility with this voltage conversion project in mind. They do handle two separate voltages, so in some cases the transformers will not be
be replaced, and others they will, just depending on the current condition of them. But it's not our standard practice to test any of the connections for radio noise, but through the process of upgrading the lines, the connections to the transformers will be checked and torqued properly, so that should help with any issues that may.
What kind of equipment do you use, like infrared for hotspots?
Yeah, the line crews do have infrared sensors, infrared guns that they can look for hotspots on equipment and try to detect issues before they lead to an outage, yes.
This voltage change, what are we going from to?
Right now we have three different primary voltages up here in Canton. So our main backbone line that leaves our substation is at 22,900 volts. And we step it down at a couple of different places to 4,160 volts and also to 2,400 volts. So what we're changing it to is what we use down in the main part of the city, which is 12,470 volts. And it's all grounded wide, and it will allow us to kind of standardize our equipment between the city and here, because right now, every specialty transformer that we have up here in the canyon, we have to have a spare backup sitting in our yard down in the city for emergency purposes if something would happen and we need to go out so we can get it replaced. This will allow us to have more standardized equipment, and it will provide more stable voltages. Yes, sir.
Going back to the river, we have a target date for completion on the ground phase 3.
Yeah, I think the target date right now is the first quarter of 2019. So you know, like I said, it could change depending on weather conditions and field conditions. The next part of the project is coming over the ridge from City Water Treatment Plant down into Sylvandale Ranch. And then from Sylvandale, we're going over U Pass to the Cherry Store. So depending on the conditions over U Pass, we may have hit some delays in the project there. But we're anticipating finishing up early in 2019. Do you have a question back there, sir? See, you know, answer your question. No? Okay. There's no more questions on the reliability improvements. I'm going to show you just a little bit of the construction. So, in the end, we're simplifying and cleaning up the overhead. So it's going to make things run a little bit smoother. So on the left-hand side, you can see what the contractor was doing before the construction. And this is at a corner where our line is changing direction by 90 degrees. And this is south of County Road 24, over there where the water transmission lines come through. So the photo on the pole on the right is the same pole that is right here on the left. So that's the new pole that we put in. And the pole that's in the background there is the existing pole. And we're again trying to work all this energized. And because we're changing the direction of the line by 90 degrees, we have four assemblies on that existing pole. The upper one is for the 22,900 volt line. The lower one is for the 2,400 volt line. So the end result here is we're only at 12,470 volts. We've got three lines coming in and three lines going out in different 90-degree directions. So kind of simplifying things and make things a little bit easier to maintain and operate. Yeah, there was an email sent out earlier today about an upcoming planned outage for next Tuesday. For a couple of hours in the morning, we've got a little bit of equipment reconfiguration we need to do from some stuff up near the water treatment plant. We've got to remove some fuses from a device out there, and we need to de-energize that portion of the equipment for a couple of hours to allow our guys to work on that safely. So, if we get bad weather on Tuesday, we'll try to do it on Thursday. And this will affect everyone from County Road 29 to the end of the line and Drake and Walton.
Thank you.
So that's all that I had. So I don't know if you guys had any more questions or if you wanted to see anything in particular about the different areas of construction.
When I did call asking about the brownouts, the only answer I got was it was a switching problem. Can you elaborate any?
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly what was meant by the switching problem, but basically when we have a brownout, in the Delta system, what's happening is we have we have three-phase power coming up into the canyon. And during a brownout, one of those phases is out of power. So we're blown a fuse on one phase, and it's mainly been because of high wind or, you know, two of the conductors briefly touching each other, which is causing the fuse to blow on only one of the phases or perhaps two of the phases, which reduces the overall voltage that's being provided out of that transformer. So that's what's causing the low voltage conditions. And it's mainly, I don't know what the switching reference was, but it's mainly because of the conductors touching each other causing some issues.
I was just curious because it sure seemed to be coincident with the start of the major construction and, you know, they're firing up the gravel pits again. I know they've got some heavy-duty stuff that they're powering off those lines as well. I didn't know if it was the construction activities that were part of it as well.
That's what I'm aware of, no. I mean, the fusing that we have on the line is there for two reasons. One is for overload protection, so if we have equipment or, you know, the current on the line exceeds its rated capacity, it will blow the fuse. But the other part is to protect from temporary faults that occur when a branch falls into the line, and it will get some of the overhead lines, things like that. It will blow that segment of that fuse, which will de-energize that line instead of taking entire canyon out of power. So that's, you know, the basic thing. But I haven't heard anything as far as
one of the things Frank said in his presentation, if you recall, we're changing it up in our philosophy and going to auto reclosing devices. And those auto reclosing devices are replacing fuses. Because as you know, with a fuse, when it reaches a certain current, it just blows the lights are out, so we send the lightning out to refuse it. This auto-reclosing device will operate two or three times, so let's say there's a limb on a tree brushing up against the line. The device will open up, if the limb clears, it will reclose, and you'll stay back in power. So it should improve reliability. You know, keep in mind, when that happens, you're going to see your lights blink. Like, the power's going to go off, it'll bring you back on. You might do that two or three times. But then, whether it goes to lockout and stays lockout, it depends whether that fault or that problem is permanent or not. But it won't damage equipment. You'll see your light blink off and on a little bit. It should improve the level of reliability and try to eliminate some of those fumes. We think that'll be an answer. And like Greg said, when we get the total rebuild done, there should be a lot fewer, if any, brownouts out there. Because we are changing the design of the system more like the Delta as well. We're definitely expensive for that, and they have got worse. In fact, I can tell you, looking at your reports, a lot of those brownouts occurred in October and November time.
The first 3 weeks of October, it tells
me. Yeah. Yeah. We saw that already in the first 3 weeks. And that's worse. I mean, when I'm talking to someone, I get it. That's worse. You'd rather have your lights completely out than partial voltage. We understand that, and we're trying to design so that we're not giving you partial voltage.
I'd like to show you these are light bulbs that burnt out in our house and all of them. None of them lasted more than 2 weeks. Some of them are blown out right now. And we are not going to have the leading lights on. I filed a claim with the city for damage to my wife's computer. And ultimately lost food or food breaker. And the claim
And that's not exploiting. Let me say this. We're not here tonight to make excuses. We accept that we have not provided good service. And we pride ourselves. I think if we go back prior to the flood, I think we did have these liability up here. So we're here to listen to your concerns and solve the problem. We're not here to make excuses. We're here to try to solve the problem. Keep in mind, like Frank showed, this is a difficult circuit to rebuild. Not only the complexity of it, the number of conductors or on a pole, but as you know, the terrain is also difficult. We've had helicopters up here helping us, and it's just not a straightforward rebuild. So that's why it's going to take until the first quarter of 2022. Overall, we're investing $6.5 million in the canyon to try to rebuild this and try to improve the reliability. So it's not something we're taking lightly. We are sincere and we want to improve the quality of service. We understand the frustration. We do the best we can.
So you say before the flood, you had better service. What changed?
Well, the flood itself, right? I mean, caused a lot of damage.
Yeah.
We repaired that. Like you mentioned earlier, we relocated the line up on top. And now we're in the process of rebuilding. Unfortunately, like you mentioned, that created plant outages. And some of the temporary construction, like he showed you, when you put the conductor out on arms, temporary arms like that, it causes additional slack in that conductor. And now if there's a high wind during that temporary construction, there may be an outage. So that's some of the stuff that's changed that's been challenging for us. That has caused a higher number of outages in the world.
Is it possible to replace
the whole side of the work? To some extent, yes. Yeah. And we've done that. And you also see, and I don't know if we had any pictures of that, they put rubber holes on the line to try to insulate them from each other. That can be done on a temporary basis. And we've implemented some of that. And then, like he also said, we're trying to rebuild shorter sections of the line so we have less line under temporary construction. That was one of the mistakes we started out. You can see in road construction, right, they want to do a large section of road because it's more productive to do that. We're doing the same thing with the line. We want to do a larger section. But then we realized it's coming back and causing problems for us because we had much more line under temporary construction. So we're going to shorten that up. Even though it won't be as productive to contractors, it should provide a higher level of reliability. That's one issue.
You may not know this, but a number of bridges are being replaced in across for access to our properties. And we had a temporary light from the city of Loveland at our bridge on Highway 34. It's recently been taken down because they're going to rebuild the bridge and all that. Do you know, are they planning on replacing those lights along 34 at these bridges?
I don't know, honestly. I have to look at the design. I'll have to get back to you.
Okay,
if you want to give me your contact
information,
as well.
That sounds like when we had in the city 11 years ago, they had to call the porch lights.
Right.
The city installed lights in people's yards in lieu of putting street lighting in. I can tell you personally, I don't like them because I don't think they're as safe and they don't light up as much. So if you've got a situation where you've got that, we'll look at it on a case by case. Maybe we consider putting a street light in or something.
Before the flood, we had a street light on the resident side of the river. Afterwards, they moved it to the street side so everybody could see the bridge and all that. We really like that. It's recently been taken down. Just curious. It's not a big deal. But just
okay.
I'm
wondering.
Sure. So we can look at that case by case. Like I said, ultimately, I'd rather see a street light up. Something that's going to light the area or the intersection of the bridge
right.
Or maybe in just a smaller yard light.
Very good.
Any other questions or concerns? Or?
Well, I'll say that I'm glad that you said the plan is going to be in the draft. There's no power pole there.
2016, I think we had 61 power outages more planned than I had. And when you think about that, that's 5 outages a month. That's not acceptable. And also, far in 2017, we've had 26. So it's reducing, but still, in our mind, still too much.
Especially
with markets. I agree.
Oh, man. Yep. I mean, we've been out of bed. 1 o'clock in the morning, flipping off our water well pump and our electric stove because we don't get some work on.
Let me also share something else with you that's inherent in the power system, and all utilities have this problem. I talked to somebody on the phone, I can't remember who it was, about this problem. When the power goes out, let's say it's out for a couple hours, your best bet is to unplug things that are sensitive. Because what happens when the power comes back on, let's say you have an electric heater or your refrigerator, right? When that power comes back on, that piece of equipment is going to draw power. And what happens is there's a voltage sag that occurs. We can't control it. There's a power surge that happens which sags the voltage. So if you have sensitive equipment and the power is out, unplug it and turn it off if you can. That'll help protect it from that surge. Some people express concerns about it. And as utilities across the United States, we can't control that. We can't. Because all that load comes back on at one time. So that's another thing you can do to help protect your equipment. Just unplug it and shut it off. Until, you know, a few minutes, and then the state of the system will stabilize again, and then you can plug it back.
So if mine is in
If it's a refrigerator or something like that, it's not a thing.
We don't want to have a refrigerator
should be okay with that. Electronic equipment would be one thing.
Not a bad idea.
Well, and electronics, we know some people have lost some computers during this time, but Mike, you know, you say don't worry about your grid as well. We have a microwave and an AC unit, so it doesn't, like you say, don't worry about your grid, but.
Well,
I'm still worried about the brick.
Yeah, I'm saying it's the surge that comes out of the power.
You have a motor on it, you have electronics on it, undervolting it is not good.
No, I'm talking about the surge now that comes out when the power's been out for a while and then the power came back on. The brownouts and stuff, yeah, that will damage equipment. We're not denying that. So if you've had that kind of damage, submit a claim, and like Jason said, we'll consider them all case by case basis. One of the important things when you're submitting those claims, make sure you're down the date and time. Recognize, you know, maybe it, right, it could have gone off and it didn't fail at that time, it could fail later, but anything that you have in terms of the date and time will help us correlate to the outage information we have. If there's a direct correlation, then it'll be a higher consideration as far as reimbursement. And like I said, you know, it's not something, and I agree, Bill said that here tonight, that's causing more of a problem than the others, and we understand that. And we're not using.
If there's no more questions, first of all, let me say thank you very much for taking time out of your evening to come and listen to us tonight. And I want to thank staff here, Frank and Bob Gresham's crew, for coming on up here. I want to thank them, but especially I want to thank you. And I want to echo what Bob said. We know that the level of service we're providing right now is not up to par. And our aim is to shoot par, or maybe even, I guess in this analogy, below par. We want to, that doesn't sound right. We want to shoot good golf. Okay, how about that? It's not a golf. We want to shoot good golf. And all the steps that Frank outlined tonight is with that goal in mind. And so I know it's frustrating, and I tell you, I've not seen the canyon coming up here since the major construction started. I can only sympathize with your frustration about the logistics and about the power, and you compound that, and it makes it tough. But again, in the end, both their work and our work is going to make your lives up here a lot easier. So again, thank you so much. If you've got problems, we have a point of contact. That young lady right over there, that's...
You have my card. When you came in, I handed just about everybody my card. And for people that were not here tonight, that you can pass on, we have a section on our website that says, look at 9-11 for all of you. And they can listen there. Minutes of the meeting will be posted there. You need additional information, that's worth finding if you don't call me.
So, anyway, thank you again. Everybody get home safely. There's cookies back there. Take some cookies home. Okay, thank you again for your time. Appreciate it very, very much.